All right. Good evening, the WPCA committee. Charlie Sampson. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6:35. We could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, which stands one
Nation.
nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, folks. Kelly, you're muted, so I'm going to do roll call. Charlie Sampson is here. Mr. Miani, I do not see on here. Mr. Miani? No. Mr. Curtis?
Here.
And Ms. Strickland.
Here.
All right, so we do have a quorum. Additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. Do we have any additions, deletions, or corrections that you guys want to propose?
Not I.
All right. And so I make a motion that we adopt the agenda as written. Do I have a second on the motion?
Second.
Second. And any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Hi.
Hi.
Any opposed? Hearing none. So it moves. All right, public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak? Anybody from the public like to speak? And for the third time, anybody from the public would like to speak? Hearing none, we'll close that. Item six, no minutes yet. Item number seven, Weston Sampson. Matt has joined us tonight. So, Matt, I will throw this over to you.
Thank you. We'll go through the monthly engineering report that's already up on the screen. There you go. there's been a little bit of progress for the Route 34 sewer project. Bob reached out to Connecticut DOT. They said they did a couple things, but there's still more to do. So that seems to be moving at a very slow pace. But there's some a little bit of incremental progress. Let's see here. Ed, do you have anything to add to that particular one, or
I
you
do
think I
not,
described it
Charlie.
well? Yeah. All right. For the II removal project, there's manhole rehab work that's ongoing this week. The contractor is supposed to have it all wrapped up in January. So basically they have about another month left of that. Just doing, rehabbing some of the manholes there. We haven't heard anything for the NPDES permit renewal from DEEP in the past month. So, it feels like it's certainly not on their priority list to get that thing done by the end of the year. No update on any kind of, review comments from UI yet for the, turbo blower energy incentive grant that we submitted. So I did sent them just a little nudge today, just asking where are they with that, so we can have something to look forward to. For the Naugatuck River siphon area, they completed the survey on the east side of the train tracks. But apparently, I guess they need some sort of easement agreement to cross the tracks. But we are kind of working on that in our office internally right now. The big item here is the wastewater treatment plant upgrade project. So the most notable thing that we had over the past month is we've been working on the cost estimate. Going through the cost estimate, it's about 95% complete. Frankly, like I had sticker shock when I saw it. It is significantly higher than what we were planning for. I still have to add in and check the allowances for what we have for like electrical SCADA instrument control and some HVAC stuff. So the issue with the cost, we took a deep dive into it already. We have more a lot of discussion about this, is that it looks like the requirements that this will dovetail into something else, but the requirements to have this thing survive a flood on site is proven to be very expensive, like tens and or 20s of millions of dollars to do that. And I basically fell out of my chair when I saw like what that impact has on the project. We do have this opportunity with value engineering to coming up to look at what particularly is driving the cost so high, and then looking at like what can be like value engineered out to lower the cost. But when we're looking at, when we're thinking like the entire project is like a $60 million project, and we're significantly higher by like, I'm afraid to give you the number because it's not finalized yet, and as soon as the number's out there, it's like that's what everyone's going to perseverate on until,
Understood.
right? So let's just roundabout numbers. If you're looking at a project that is, let's just say it's double, all right? If you're looking at a project like that, it's not. But if it was, you look at value engineering and you say, well, what can we cut out? And it's at that point, it's not like let's get rid of a couple of pumps or a second sludge thickener, or let's maybe we like, maybe we downsize a building or not do UV. At that point, it's a much bigger issue. So we're double checking the math. There were a couple things that we've already found that were like double counted, but the addition to make the site resilient to like a 500-year flood elevate 500-year flood. It's behind a dike, so it's a reduced risk of flooding. But basically, in the past, the state has been very lenient on that. But when we met with the state on December 10th, and we're talking through the project, they did confirm what my belief was, that like with some rule changes over the last like 3 or 4 years, that one of the last things they do before approving a project for funding is to make sure it meets flood resiliency requirements, which is either like 100-year flood elevation plus 3 feet, or a 500-year flood elevation plus 1 foot. So behind the dike, we're at a 500-year flood elevation plus 1 foot. I could show you really quick what that does to just give me an idea. I don't know if I could share my screen. I'll try. Nope, I can't. Send a request.
Let me stop sharing mine.
All right, let's share screen one, like that. So what I did real quick to prep for this meeting is to show you like at the site. Let's go down to the next page. I'll show you why it's becomes a difficult thing. Like we were talking originally, the idea was, say, to like reuse like the admin building, right? And here's basically, this is basically the admin building right here from the old plan. And then I know I'm sorry, I'm moving around so much. So like if you're looking at one view of it, you have your first floor elevation is updated for today's elevation datum. That elevation 18.15, and then the resiliency elevation is 21.7. So if you're standing next to the side of the building in the driveway, you're basically, it's 6 feet of flood water that we have to design the site to be able to survive. Like it doesn't have to operate during 6 feet of flood water, but when everybody leaves and then comes back after the flooding, you have to be able to flick the switch and everything runs again. So let me show you. So basically, if you're, let me, I had a really good view. Hang on, maybe it's this next page. All right, so if you go into like, you're walking in the doorway into Ed's office, the flood water comes up to the doorknob of the entrance to the building after you walk up a flight of stairs. So if you look at something like that, you can't just reuse the existing admin building. If you go to, this is the secondary control building. It's kind of the building in the back corner, which kind of has a nice, I don't know, postmodern type look to it. So this is the main entrance to that building where, that's a little bit of a lower spot. But again, like you're looking at like, there's a small garage bay with like a door next to it. You look at something like that, you're again 6 feet of flood water, trying to design around that. You're not exactly like, can't just flood proof a building by putting some stock logs in place there.
Can't you just buy it a life preserver and he can swim out?
Pretty much what it is. Yeah, pretty much what it is. Even some of the buildings are more, some of the things are raised, like the main headworks area, the main effluent pump station. Like even that, when you're standing on top of that, it's still 3.5 feet of flood water on top of that. At that point, you're flooding out all your whole plant, basically what it is. So we've designed into the new design provisions to prevent any kind of like damage from floodwaters from that. But you're talking like $20-30 million. When we added up the cost of either, raising the main parking area, having a higher loading dock, moving things above flood elevations. I think there's an opportunity to ask FEMA for climate resiliency money. So that's something we're going to be working pretty hard over the next month, is to identify what we could ask for. But it's incredibly frustrating that this requirement, where we started working on this facility planning, and the project has been, the duration has been going on so long of finally getting the approval, that in that time the requirements have changed, basically. When we did meet with Ann Strout from Connecticut DEP on, it was a December 10th, I got my notes here. There were two things that we did confirm with her. One was that we do have to meet that resiliency elevation of the 500 year flood elevation plus 1 foot. And then she also did agree that yes, the DEP is looking for operators or treatment plant facilities to move away from using chemicals for disinfection and moving towards UV systems. We did also talk to her a little bit about where we are in the project for 30% design. Explain that the drawings are done. Basically the cost estimate is pretty close to complete. And then our basis of design report, that's something we're looking to wrap up this month. We also forwarded her a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, that the two parts that we have sent to we've gone over with you guys in the past. And then what she was asking for is for Weston Sampson to develop, really update a detailed project schedule, because all the dates have slipped quite a bit. There's even the letter that the mayor sent to DEP several years ago, asking to update the schedule for the overall project. And Anne admitted that they kind of ended up just sitting on that. So we need to resubmit that now that the facility plan is complete, with new dates for basically doing the design documents, the value engineering, bidding, construction, all that needs to be, that's something Bob and I have to look at to rewrite that letter, that ghostwriter that comes from the mayor, laying out to the state that we need to update what the overall schedule is going to be. She also asked to look at the draft RFQ for the value engineering consultant solicitation. So I did send that over. And then Anne asked that she'd be invited to the value engineering opening and closing sessions. And then she would like to have basically at towards the end of the project a final design presentation. And of course, submission of the final design drawings, which she looks at, and then that's when I said, so when you look at the final drawings, do we have to meet this flood elevation number? And she says, oh yeah, we can't approve it unless you meet those requirements. She's like, oh, we've had a couple past hurricanes more recently where it basically floods out treatment plants, and then it becomes this. It basically becomes kind of like a natural disaster in these communities where your plants flooded out. Bob and I have already talked about some options, such as like, can we just order like it's actually a couple extra generators and then just keep it in the high ground? If your generator floods out, you just grab the spare one at Public Works and just drive it down. I mean, it's not that quite that simple, but we are thinking of what else can we do to really cut those resiliency costs of lifting everything higher. But then that kind of leads us into the whole value engineering process where getting a third party to kind of give some ideas, I think would be hugely beneficial, especially when we are looking to cut meat. We're not really looking at just cutting some nice to haves anymore. We're like, how do you fundamentally reduce the cost of like raising buildings, or in this case, if you have to raise a building like 4 or 5 feet, you really that and these buildings are 50, 60 years old, you're fundamentally just replacing them, which is really what our project was about. So we are gonna it is a lot to take in, but we are gonna see what we can get from FEMA for this type of effort because it's a critical facility. A low-lying area, and it's something that traditionally there's been money for that type of work. So we'll see what's available there. I'm just, yeah, I guess I'm
You're
just.
just the Grinch that stole Christmas. Now we know why Bob sent you to the meeting tonight.
Oh my gosh, no. I mean, it's just I just feel, I feel like just my just heart sinks when I think about like how far this project comes, and we're so close, and then it's just another hurdle that gets kind of thrown up in front of us. Like, how do we fix this problem? How do we solve it? So we got to look at that through value engineering. And there's two things. It's like, how do you, lower the cost and get more grant funding? Those two things kind of work together, I think.
So Matt, what's the deal here? I mean, was the original plan to just go with the 100-year flood plus three, and this changed it to it, and as the state said, they want a 500-year flood plus one. Well, like, why is this hitting us at the end like this?
Not even. Well, I'm thankful it's not hitting us when we submit the 100% design drawings to them and they said, oh, you
Yeah.
didn't meet that requirement. No, what happened was during the facility planning, during all that, there wasn't a requirement necessarily to really meet those requirements because we're behind a dike. So
Yeah.
if you're in a 100-year flood plain, then yeah, you have to design around that. But because we're behind the dike, traditionally, people have had the opinion that like you're safe from flooding because the dike would have to fail or the stormwater pump station would have to be offline during a hurricane.
Well,
That thing.
that would be my next question, Matt. Do we even know whether the pumps work? For the longest time, the pumps in Derby didn't work. For years, they didn't work, the pumps or the gates.
I believe they do, from
Okay.
what I heard. Ed might be able to talk a little more about that, but I think they do.
Yeah.
The big, I think the big thing that changed his perspective is a hurricane in New Orleans, where New Orleans had stormwater pump stations and they were behind a dike, and then everything flooded out. I mean, their stormwater pump stations flooded out, and then and I think that's really what started this the change in thinking over the last few years. And I think regulations have caught up, and then now we're it propagates up to Connecticut,
Yeah,
which
we're all paying for
kind of, yeah. So that's, and I mean, it's this type of thing. You read the newer FEMA regulations over the last 4 or 5 years. It applies to critical infrastructure, power facilities, hospitals, water and wastewater treatment facilities. If it's just like putting some, I don't know, filling in the windows with bricks so the floodwater only comes up so high and putting some waterproof doors on it, that wouldn't be so hard. But we have like blowers in basements, and there's just so many penetrations. It's not that easy for a plant that's like 70 years old, where they never really gave much consideration to that.
And you can't guarantee the walls, the existing walls. You can't guarantee that they're going to hold it back either.
Brick,
You know, like you
which.
say, it's 7 years old. But
Well, brick is
I mean,
supposed to breathe.
what's that?
So, brick is supposed to breathe to let the vapor barrier out, but the vapor out, the water vapor behind the bricks, so they don't sweat. And you have all the different penetrations through it. Like we have the secondary control building with the blowers in the basement, right? That we just redid. You basically have like a 30-inch pipe that goes through the wall and then out. So and that's the air pipe, and then the top of the basement, the ceiling of the basement has this open grating that lets the air down into there. So if you were to have this flooding, it would just that room would be full of water in probably about 4 or 5 minutes. Like that's just
Yeah.
uncontrollable.
I mean, I understand the reasoning, and I know they changed their standards. It just seems, here we are, we got our mindset at,
The 60.
60, now we're looking at 90. I mean, I know things cost more, but wow.
This is a change in, this is like a change in requirements, which is like, which yeah, if again, if the project was built 20 years ago, if the project was built 10 years ago, we would have kind of snuck by this and not have to, and instead of worrying about where we're going to get the money to make everything resist the flood, we would just say, well, if there's a flood someday, we're gonna have to replace some equipment. We'll have to replace a lot of equipment. I guess that's the fundamental change in thinking. And again, like where we are today with getting equipment, it's not as easy as just making a phone call and then something shows up a couple days later. We're fortunate with the blowers, and even that probably, I think that took what, 4 to 6 weeks, and that was, we were excited that was fast. So yeah, we have a lot of work to do to try to figure out how to lower costs and then increase grant funding on this one. Yeah, that wasn't, it wasn't really a fun conversation to have with Bob when he was like first day back from medical leave either. But we're trying to figure out how to get through this one.
That's all we can do. Keep pushing forward, though, because like you said, we've been kicking this one down the can for so long. So stuff like this catches up to us.
I don't know, maybe, again, maybe there's an opportunity to get some sort of apply for some sort of like federal pork barrel spending. In this case, this is a necessity. It's not a highway, not a bridge to nowhere or anything like that, but I think that might be something we might consider as well. But it's big dollars. So yeah, we're gonna investigate different options for federal funding at this point, see what we can come up with. And then with the value engineering, we can add a very easily just add a bullet to, say like suggest like identify alternate sources of funding. So then you have two engineering firms working on it instead of just one. That might help too. I wish I had better news today.
Listen, it's Christmas time. Great, thanks for the
Yeah.
present. Right.
Reality.
Well, and you sure you want to be here for the next part, Matt? Because it's paying the Weston and Sampson bills. I don't. Might be a little tough tonight.
Yeah, well,
Well,
I was
we
what
appreciate
Bob
that.
ordered that I stay.
All right. Well, our first Weston and Sampson bill is for the measly amount of $145,900 for professional services on the design, and this should be paid out of the bond funding. Do I have a motion to pay Weston and Sampson invoice number 12250741 in the amount of $145,900 from bond funding?
Motion to
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Do I have any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Matt, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So moved.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, then the second one is the phase six INI removal plan. This one is a little bit more stomachable after that last soliloquy. I will make a motion to pay Weston and Sampson invoice number 12250739 in the amount of $4,000. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Strickland. I'll try to find out what this outstanding one is too for you, Matt, when I talk to Brian. Unfortunately, Brian couldn't be here tonight. He had something else that came up of an emergency. But I have a first and second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Bye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. All right. Listen, Matt, your job is done. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a nice day.
You too. Next
You too,
item on
Matt.
the
Bye, guys.
next item on the agenda is the monthly report from Mr. Ed.
Evening, all. For the month of November in the collection system, we responded to a total of 45 called before you dig tickets with three emergencies. And we also responded to a total of six call-outs with five emergency after-hour call-outs. For the treatment plant, we had an average daily flow of 1.2 million gallons per day, a total flow of 33.73 million gallons a day, and a max daily flow of 1.28 million gallons a day. Our average total nitrogen is 46 pounds per day. Our permit limit is 71 pounds per day, which brings us down to our annual average for the year at 70.3 pounds per day. With only 2 weeks to go, we're in the green. It will be completely remarkable if we can hit that, considering the first 6 months we were almost double that number. The average effluent BOD is 8.1 milligrams per liter. Average suspended solids was 7 milligrams per liter and an average turbidity of 3.5. For maintenance for the month of November, we repaired the service water leak in the flow metering building. The north primary clarifier was taken offline to replace the motor. Routine maintenance completed for the headworks pump number 2, and working on safety item punch list from the plant walkthrough with the air quality assessment, which is almost complete. In general, we had an average percent solids with the new press of 21.62. It went down a little bit from last month. We tried a new polymer that in a jar test seemed to be better. Yet when we put it to the test, it was much worse. So we stopped that trial and went back to the old polymer. Numbers are already going back up. We're continuing to work with FEMA for disaster damage assistance for the East Derby siphon and continuing to work with DEP, CTDOT, and Metro North for all of the permits for the East Derby siphon repair. And attached is quotes for the plant pickup truck replacements.
Yes, that'll come along shortly in this agenda. Any questions for Ed? Ed, I actually do have one. I saw Pepe on 34. Is he doing work for us, or is he doing stuff for the state?
Who's this?
Frank Pepe.
He might be doing stuff for the state. I'm not exactly, we don't have him doing anything for us right now. As a matter of fact, I thought he was in the process of selling the business.
Okay. Yeah, I just
Yeah.
I Kelly might know better than I do. He's
Well,
got his ear.
he told me a month ago I guess he's doing a lot of work for Aquarian over at the Ansonia plant. But that's all I'd heard. But yeah, it sounds like he's almost finished. Business-wise, I mean, I think
Yeah.
he's out of it.
Well, we should start looking into a backup to the emergency repair guy.
We have a couple people that are supposed to be sending us quotes for services rendered.
Excellent. Any other questions for Ed on this?
No, sir.
Hearing. All right. Like I said, Brian got pulled away with something else for tonight. He did submit the check register. He did not submit the budget stuff. But was there anything that stood out in the check register that anybody wanted to discuss? I can get back to him with it.
No, nothing that I spotted.
Okay. All right. That's going to bring us to the next item, old business. And Ed, I will let you go over the two. So Ed got two quotes off the state contract, so therefore we do not have to go out to bid for these trucks. We're allowed to procure items off the DAS contracts without having to do an RFP for all these goodies. So Ed, if you want to just go over, we'll just go right down this one, and then we'll go right down the next one, and then you could tell us how you guys worked it out with what you want to look at.
Sure. So we have two quotes here. The first one that we're looking at is the extended cab. It's the base model upgrade to the extended cab. And in discussion with the crew, I had made mention that Mr. Curtis, the previous month, had made mention of utility body. And that was not something that we were looking at doing for this truck right now. However, the mechanics made a good point by stating once the plant starts going through an upgrade, the utility body would be advantageous because they would be able to keep the majority of secondary tools on that truck so they wouldn't have to fight with the contractors once the work starts to go get tools back and forth. It'll be easier to have secondary tools in the truck to be able to go out to any site. So they thought it would be a good idea, as well as I did, once that was mentioned, that we go with the utility body. Again, the first one is for the extended cab, which is a total of $82,299.80. The second one is for a crew cab, a little bit bigger, for the total of $83,609.50. After going on site and checking out the trucks that they had, because I wanted to make sure we did this right. So I took one of the mechanics with me. We went on site to check everything out, to check the cab, the chassis, what it looks like, what it's going to look like at the end. And it was kind of a unanimous decision that everybody wanted to go with the extended cab over the crew because that foot and a half difference they think is going to make it a little bit harder with the crew cab to be able to maneuver around with the plow. So the consensus was the extended cab in the amount of $82,299.80.
So it'll be the first one with total up here. So just base price of that one was 31,548, and then with the options, it came out to that 82,299.80. Did have a discussion with Brian in regards to paying for this truck. I'm just going to pull this up real quick, switch my screen over here. So back in 2024-25's budget, which was prior to me, Mr. Curtis is basically the only one that is on here now. WPCA had put 200,000 in a capital reserve, which could be used to purchase this truck. Mary, I don't think you were with us, but we also took 200,000 from last fiscal year, 24, 25, and moved it into another line item, which doesn't show on the budget here, for capital expenses, which our thought back then, Mr. Curtis, correct me if I'm wrong, was we know that we got a vac truck coming up that's probably going to cost at least a half a million dollars. And we had the 200,000 surplus available at the end of the last fiscal year. So we kind of rolled it over into another line item that, like I said, is not on this budget. So between those two items, we actually have $400,000 in capital reserve for basically capital expenses, which a vehicle runs under. The only other thing I want to point out is we do have, and we need to think about this as we start the upcoming next fiscal year 26, 27 budget, that we do have a truck replacement line item. And in speaking with Ed, he's told me that they have two other trucks that they would like to work on for replacement. So I think that, you know, if we do have like a $200,000 reserve, we should put money away and work with Brian Hall to put an appropriate amount of money in the truck replacement line item so we know exactly, you know, it's in there and it's available to us for that purpose for these next two trucks coming up, these pickup trucks or whatever the heck it is you want over there, Ed. But like I said, Brian did say we had a total of $400,000, which would cover the cost of this pickup truck and looking at either A, purchasing outright, or B, are we smarter doing a 5-year lease on this thing? So just keep the payments down, and that way we're not taking all his, you know, 80,000 out of this 400,000 we have in reserve. Any questions on
Well,
it?
Charlie, one thing I will tell you, the $500,000 mark for a new Vactor truck ain't even close anymore. I just talked to a contractor this past week that went to look at a new one. He's looking over $750,000 for a new truck, and even the used ones are costing between $400,000 and $500,000. So I think we're probably better off with the 500. With the, I, excuse me, the 5-year lease, that would be my thought. I mean, Mary, I don't know, you know, what your thought is, but I would rather see us have a good chunk in there to be able to buy a Vactor truck outright and pay this smaller amount yearly on the pickup trucks. Because you know that by the time we go for a new Vactor truck, it's probably going to be close to a million. So now we're going to be looking for 200,000 on a lease per year. Am I explaining that right?
Yeah.
It, I think we're better off doing the lease to get this. I'd rather pay a little bit on a lease, and then especially knowing that we've got, what do we got? One more pickup truck to replace Ed, and the camera truck is new, right? Or is the camera truck on its way out?
No, camera truck was purchased in 2020 or
Right,
2021.
and we have no other leases right now. We paid off the skid steer. We've paid off the camera truck. Right now, we don't have any leases out there. My suggestion would be to go for the lease, as long as Brian feels it's good. I don't know about you people.
I would agree. I would agree with, you know, these type of purchases. And we always did that through the city. And any public works trucks that we got, we were like a 5 or 7 year lease, depending on what type of truck, obviously a little bit more. But I would agree if Brian could get us into a lease on this one, that would probably be our best option and keep that money on hand. Because actually that money makes money. I don't know. I could show you guys back actually up top here. We realized us $248,000. Oops. $248,000 in interest. Stand by, stand by. In fiscal year 23-24, we made an interest 250 almost $250,000, and then 24, 25, keeping this type of money in the bank, we made it almost, we made another $250,000. So we are estimating to make 230 on the market this year, but I can tell you right now it's been a stellar market. So if our money's not working very good for us, we got a problem. So I would agree with Mr. Curtis and ask for Brian to look for a lease with this one. Mary, thoughts?
My only thought is how much do you think the truck is going to get beat up, and are we going to have to end up paying for it regardless?
No, so what it is, well, we're actually buying the truck. We're just splitting the payments up over 7 years. So it's not like we give the truck back at the end of the lease period.
Gotcha. So it's a lease to purchase, not a actual lease.
Mary, Charlie and I have had a little experience with fire trucks doing that, and that's the way the town has probably done it for the past 30, 40 years. You know, it's like put it up a dollar the first year, and then once it gets delivered, then we would pay the percentage over, you know, we'd pay a certain amount for the next 5 to 7 years. As Charlie said.
Does the city usually have to pay interest on those kind of payments, or no?
Yeah, there's a typically a small interest rate that's associated to it. It depends. Brian goes out and shops for who gives us the best lease on it. There are a couple of municipal leasing companies, but I think the last time I was talking about something like this, it was only in the 7% range.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's not a 30%. It's not like your credit card, which is crushing you. Any other questions on this? Ed, anything else on this?
No, sir.
All right. So I'm going to try to formulate the motion here. Let's see how this goes. I'll make a motion that WPCA spend up to $82,299.80 for a new pickup truck lease, for a new pickup truck, and utilize leasing to finance that over X number of years based upon what Mr. Hall can do for us. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Do I have a second?
You want it, Mayor, or you want me to take this one?
I'll let you take it. Since you know where
No,
I
we
came
can blame
from.
another. We can blame another new one. Second by
Okay, I'm gonna hold you
Mr.
to it though.
Curtis.
I'm gonna hold you to it. You're gonna have to put the mark on the Vactor truck.
Oh, fun.
Thank you, Mr. Curtis. Any more discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? So carries. All right, Mr. Ed, work your magic with Brian. Find out what he can do on a lease. And then if you could just report back to us in next month's meeting, A, what the lease is, and then B, what account do we end up spending the funding or the payments coming from? Those are the only two things I would require, just so I can. I like to keep my eyes on these budgets. Call me crazy, but I like to know what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right. Next, I think that's it. We have no new business. We have nothing for an executive session. So before we adjourn, I just want to say I hope everybody has a safe and happy holiday. Merry
And the same
Christmas,
to all you.
because I roll that way. And a happy new year. We won't be meeting again until till the next year. So enjoy, folks. And I'll make sure that the date is right on the next agenda for us. But it is January 16th, I believe. January 21st. I'll see everybody on January 21st.
All right, have a
So
nice holiday, everybody. See you.
have a happy
thanks, Marcus.
holiday, everyone. Merry
End of the
Christmas.
meeting at
Happy New Year.
7:20.
Sounds good. Take care.